Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
In for Chad Hartman, I'm Dave Schrader. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Can we just talk real quickly about this DFL party disavowing a machete-wielding candidate for the Minnesota House?
Yes.
At what point are we suddenly against machetes in our district? I just don't understand that. We have a problem with a guy who gets a little angry at somebody stealing his upside-down flag and waves a machete at him, and suddenly he's not the kind of candidate we want supporting our country and our state.
I don't know. No, that's we're so much anti-machete. I think it's wielding of. And then that type of wielding, perhaps.
I'd like to. What was the actual footage? Like, did he? Was he just like, shaking it like a crabby old man? Get off my lawn!
Or probably like
was he like, is he like chasing him down the street with a machete?
It's probably like the guy in the Indiana Jones movie in the market. You know, doing the whole deal before Indy pulled out the pistol.
Yeah. Yeah, you think that's the way it went down, huh? We are a fickle group here in our country. We will vote in a former pro wrestler who had no problem hitting people with chairs and beating them with baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire. That's okay. But one guy, one machete, that's a problem. Huh?
Well, it was.
I thought our state was more progressive than this.
Machete wheeling, you know, doing the whole stalking situation. Apparently, that was a bridge too far.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I know DFL Chairman Ken Martin released a statement calling Hoff unfit for elected office. The kind of violent and threatening behavior that Mr. Hoff engaged in has no place in the Minnesota DFL party. The Minnesota DFL strongly disavows this endorsement, and I've asked the local unit in question to withdraw their endorsement immediately. We all have a responsibility, regardless of party or ideology, to reject violence in our politics. I agree. I mean, you don't want to.
Perhaps the background check could have happened earlier.
Here's the thing though. If you are legally allowed to run, right? If it's a one-off instance, I guess he's been a stalker too.
Yes, he has. And if
who hasn't?
If you're the party, I would think if you have somebody that wants to run under your party's flag, perhaps you Google.
Do you?
Yeah, I think perhaps you just type in the name and say, hey, I'm not familiar with this fella.
There are a lot of crazy politicians. I'm gonna go on record, Dave Schrader of WCCO.
Take.
I'm coming in. I'm saying there's a lot of crazies out there in our government. And I don't know. I mean, at what point, what's the line we draw? There were guys who have claimed to have been abducted by aliens that have hunted and confronted Sasquatch. I mean, there's a lot of high strangeness out there. And coming from me, that's saying something, Dave.
I think that line you speak of, that line we draw has been moving and continues to move.
Continues to move.
Keep sliding on over.
I don't know. What do we expect from our politicians? Now it's got to be all dainty again, back into nice tucks and ties, but no machetes. That's the lineup.
That's right.
Well, in similar news, mayoral candidate Jason Voorhees of Crystal Lake has also been removed off the ballot for his harsh crackdown on teen drugs and sex addiction. The normally soft-spoken man is promising to personally slash and cut all these issues down himself, but current incumbent Frederick Krueger was quoted as saying, "There's no room in politics for the strong, silent type that amble their way through life trying to solve issues with the old adage of speak softly and carry a large machete." That may or may not be actual news. In this time, in this era, does it really matter?
No.
No, I didn't think
so.
Who
could tell?
Yeah. Hey, let's put in a congratulations. One of Minnesota's very own took 12th overall in the Boston Marathon. She was the number one American woman in that. Did you know about this?
Second year in a row.
Yeah. And considering she's coming off a bad wheel, right?
No kidding, yes.
Elk River's Emma Bates secured the title of the top American woman in the Boston Marathon for the second consecutive year, finishing in 12th place. And despite battling that foot injury, so I guess last year she hit like a pothole, mucked up her ankle pretty bad.
You don't want to do that.
No, but continued the race and still came in, I think, 13th place. So she was only one behind with a bad wheel.
I have a feeling that ankle was a little colorful the next day.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of them were... A lot of the runners are more built like me. She's wheeling it in with a bad stem and I'm ambling along behind. I don't know. That's amazing, though. She said she was a little disappointed. It was 5 minutes slower than her best. 5 minutes slower. That's pretty incredible.
That is.
And the woman that beat her from Kenya, I think, came in at 4.5 minutes. So if she's 5 minutes behind her best, she very well could have taken a much higher position.
Yeah, I wonder if it was maybe a tough day, if weather-wise.
One of the things they said, which I think is cool, right, is she's coming through, and there's a huge line of people, and she's high-fiving them. That's got to be carving 10th of seconds off.
Sure.
But she was in the moment. She's vibing on that.
That's
congratulations.
Tremendous.
I mean, that's
so
great.
Cool.
Yeah. You know, you're coming, you got that gap. You know you're doing well. All right, listen, I know where I'm going to come in this position. I could fight a little harder, push a little harder. She's still number one for American women in the Boston Marathon.
Mm-hmm. That's a good take. Just qualifying for Boston is incredible.
Yeah.
Then finishing first for American women.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. I don't think I'd make it in any kind of marathon.
I've done two.
Really?
I have.
And? Do you suggest it?
No.
Were your nipples bleeding?
Close.
Ugh.
You invest heavily in Vaseline and Band-Aids, and you take care of yourself. I knew a lot more about the prep and what you have to do mid-race the second time than I did the first time.
Mid-race? What's that hit?
Oh, just as far as, you know, not just hydration, but fueling yourself, you know, using energy gels or, you know, gummies, things like that.
Energy gels?
Oh, yeah.
Are you rubbing it in or are you
eating it?
Eating it. Really?
Yeah, these little gel packs or like I prefer.
Isn't that kind of like doping up?
A little bit.
A little bit? So you're admitting to doping?
Yeah, you know, you just get a shot.
Hold
every,
on. Teletype's coming in. You've been now removed off the ballot in the state of Minnesota. No legislature for you.
No, I remember the second time I did a Twin Cities Marathon about 9-10 years ago and looking at my finishing time and knowing it wasn't good. But, hey, I ran the whole thing that time. I felt great. I ran slow.
Yeah.
But I was able to run the whole thing. And say, I wonder how close I was to the Boston qualifying time for my age group. I wouldn't have qualified if I was 65. Honest to God. It was like, you know, clear into senior citizen age where the time I had would have qualified me for Boston.
Wow. That's saying something.
And I was 30 at the time.
You know, I caught a runner's high once in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I don't like running personally, but we had to do the mile. And I was keeping up with a buddy of mine who was in cross country and a little guy fit, right? And he could do it. And he's really goading me on, you know, but in a polite way. He's really kind of, come on, dude, come on. We're pushing and pushing. And all of a sudden that endorphin kick is crazy because you feel like you're running faster than your legs are allowing you to.
Sure.
Like, like a whole new thing has kicked in. I liked that feeling.
It
but
is kind of
if I could
cool.
get it just by eating Twinkies, I'd be much, much happier.
That's a different kind of high.
Yeah, that's but just as good in my opinion.
As somebody who runs a decent amount, it is a wonderful feeling when it always seems like the first mile is just getting back into it. Okay, this is sore, that is sore. But when that goes away and you're just kind of on cruise control and I don't listen to music or anything like that when I run.
Really? You don't get inspired? You're not a little rocky?
None
of that while you're chugging along?
It's just a peaceful thing. My head is quiet. I'm just focusing on, you know, mileage and left foot, right foot. Let's just keep going and just kind of blank my head out. It's a cool feeling when you turn around and say, oh, I've done that many miles and didn't even, you know, I said, on cruise control.
See, I'd just be constantly looking at my watch, looking at how many steps and how much longer have I got on this thing.
This is horrible.
First half, I would be like totally imagining being chased by zombies and just like I'd smoke everybody. for the first block and a half. Not pretty much. It's going to lay in a gutter. And
then the zombies catch up eventually.
Sure, some hobo water or something. I don't know. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more News Talk 830 WCCO.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
In for Chad Hartman, I'm Dave Schrader, interrupting Billy Joel yet again. A lot of people upset about that concert, huh?
Well, CBS is making good now.
Are they? They make it sound like they're going out of their way. Oh, we're going to make this up to you. That means they get to air it a second time, get really good advertising dollars for airing the complete concert. And from my understanding, they only cut it short by like about 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, yeah.
Is there that much upset on local TV to have that happen?
Yes.
Wow. So for those of you that don't understand, I guess the other day there was the Billy Joel's 100. He's got a residency at Madison Square Garden, and he plays there like every month and has been doing it for a long time. This was his 100th show. They televised it. It got a late start because of the Masters. Is that what it was?
Yeah, there was like a Masters recap or something that went on CBS. So they delayed the start of the concert by a few minutes.
So it wasn't really live so much then.
No, I think if the concert was actually, like the actual concert was a month or two ago.
Okay.
But then, you know, so you clean it up, you edit it, you do what you need to do to get it on TV, and
is that
boom.
What you do?
Yeah.
That's news to me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to News Talk 830 WCCO, where it's always news to me. That is crazy. So they shut it down in the middle of Piano Man, or near the end, really, is where we were. He was doing his last song of the night. And they just kind of go to black screen and then jump into local news.
That's right.
Yeah. So it becomes our problem here, right? I mean, then it's what local stations' fault for doing this, not realizing it's like a network-wide thing.
It was
correct?
All pretty much Eastern and Central time zone CBS stations. This happened because CBS corporate screwed up the timing.
God, I just think about growing up, how many shows were interrupted for other products and shows or something, news that came in when I was in the midst of an amazing show. Mm-hmm. They never re-aired it. You just had to wait till summer when the summer reruns came back to get a chance to catch it again.
That's right. Well,
no matter what uproar, I don't know what happened to the Fonz last week. Nobody does. Did he jump a shark? Did he jump the garbage cans? The Fonz may need my support, and I don't know. Next week, I just have to tune in and hope he's still alive and on the show.
Well, you can find out from your friends, at least.
No, they weren't able to watch either. We all lived in the same town, so when you get interrupted and, you know, attempts on presidents' lives interrupt your favorite TV programs, that's always kind of a bummer, right?
Was it the Heidi? The Heidi NFL episode.
Yeah,
what
was it, from 1960s, right? 1968. NBC decided to break away from a close game between the New York Jets and the Oakland Raiders to start its presentation of the movie Heidi. The call was so unpopular, it changed the way TV aired NFL games. Hmm. The Heidi Clause.
I think that's probably wise.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, you don't think we should be interrupting games? There's been some games I wish they would have interrupted for.
Well,
even Gigli with Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. Honey, just get me out of this game. That's the way I feel. Talking about interruptions, in 2012, Bruce Springsteen's in London playing Hyde Park, right?
Okay.
Everybody knows the guy puts on an amazing concert, and he goes long.
Yes, he does.
Joining him on stage for the finale, Sir Paul McCartney.
It's a pretty good pairing.
England's prime son, right? Don't let Elton hear that. He'll probably get upset.
Careful. But watch out.
So here you've got Paul McCartney and Bruce Springsteen on stage, and they adhere to their noise ordinances pretty well, I guess. Like in the middle of a song, they just cut the power. That was it. You're done. So the boss and McCartney, mid-song, they just shut down the power. And on stage, they're all jamming and don't realize that the main speakers are off. And it's everybody's on stage. Just like, they all thought something happened on stage. You're wondering why it was cut. Hyde Park's just like, ah, enough of that.
The Bobbies come up. All right, you get out of here.
Nothing to see. Keep moving. And they shut them down. So, boy, wow. You got to have some cojones to shut down Springsteen and McCartney on stage in London.
I think you have to get the Queen's approval at that point.
I don't know. She was very upset from my understanding. She had rocking. She had her headband tied on. She's throwing her fist in the air for a little twist and shout. And then they cut it off.
Well, she is the one that made Paul Sir Paul, so clearly she was a fan.
Yeah.
There's the advertising. They just put up for the Billy Joel re-air Friday. Thank you, CBS, for taking time out of your biggest primetime night.
Yeah, Friday. That's not what it used to be, that's for sure. So since we're talking about rock legends, right, you got John Mellencamp out touring right now. And he's kind of a lot of these guys are now making it a much more intimate affair with these shows. And they'll even tell you, it's not so much even a concert anymore as it's kind of a theatrical presentation, like something you'd see on Broadway when Springsteen was doing his one-man show on Broadway, right?
It's now a night with John Cougar Mellencamp.
Right. No, just John Mellencamp.
I don't care. He's still the Cougar to me.
I know. That's the way I feel about it, but people don't like that. For some reason, you got to support the man. He doesn't want to be Johnny Cougar anymore.
I don't care. I want to needle him.
Don't, because he's very volatile. So in a recent concert in Toledo, Ohio, he's up there. And, you know, Springsteen's a storyteller. So mm-hmm. He'll tell you stories between songs. And people just shut up and listen, and they're cheering. And Mellencamp's up there telling a story about his grandmother. And people are like, sing a song! Hey, authority song!
Jack and Diane already!
Right, and he's like, you know, hold on. And he's trying to tell, and they keep needling him from the crowd, and he just goes off. And as a matter of fact, he tells his stage manager, find that guy so we can talk after the show.
Oh, the Cougar's coming after you.
Yeah, that's when the Cougar comes back out. You're right. So Johnny Cougar, not happy with the way this concert's progressing. And he goes, I'll tell you what, since you guys are all being so great tonight, I'm carving 10 songs out of my deal. And they're like, no, we love you. And then he starts singing Jack and Diane. He sings like three sentences. And then he goes, you know what? This concert's over.
Wow.
And people start when he walks off stage. That's it. But then he comes back out a little bit, plays a couple more songs. But he was so frustrated. And now he said, listen, I'm not for everybody. Which should be on the ticket to begin with, right? John Mellencamp. He's not for everybody. And at any time he could stop the show if you're being a jerk. But at what point, I mean, what is he beholden to the greater good of the crowd? You know, I mean, at his age too, should you just be over the needling from the audience? You know, just keep doing your story and point out security where the guy is. Have security just escort him out and, you know, be there present for the rest of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand it's got to be frustrating. I saw Billy Crystal live in concert doing his comedy show back in the 80s. And he's doing this great presentation, and people are yelling stuff to him constantly and interrupting his bit. And finally he goes, would you people just grow up? And he put the mic down and walked off stage.
Wow.
And he was gone for like 20 minutes. And they're like, they didn't bring up the house lights. So everybody's milling about like, what's going on? And people started booing the hecklers in the audience. So security came down and they started lining up in the rows to keep an eye on the audience. And he came back out and he goes, can we finish the show now? And to his credit, with that kind of tension, can you imagine what it's like to take the stage as a comedian and then have to deliver comedy gold?
Yeah.
He had us eating out of his hands in about a minute and a half. And he had the place roaring and nobody spoke up again. The whole place just... It was like, yay!
I suppose it's like, as a comedian,
yeah.
Once you point the finger at it, you know, you call out the elephant in the room, that's probably, I could see you taking really strong advantage of that as somebody as talented as Billy Crystal obviously is.
Well, right. But there are a lot of comedians who it just throws their entire show off.
Sure.
And there's a lot of viral videos of that. Obviously, it didn't work great for Michael Richardson.
It did not.
No. And a few other comedians along the way that kind of lose their shtick on stage as they're doing it. But it's like, I understand you're in a groove. You've got a timing and a rhythm going, and somebody's yelling out, you know, tell the dentist joke.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I've been to shows, even just like at Acme, where you get people that have had a couple too much. And
they're
near,
always the idiots in the front.
Yes, they're always
every
the
time.
You're right, the idiots in the front. And, you know, it just, it does. It derails it for the audience. And whether the comic can, you know, keep it going or not, or, you know, they have to take a few minutes to put that person in their place, it's just a bummer for everybody else. And you think if we're talking about a, you know, more intimate concert with Mellencamp, you're probably paying a few bucks to go there.
Yeah.
I would assume you're a fan. Yeah. Shut up. Listen to the story.
Right,
you've heard the song
the
75
music.
Times already. How about you listen to the story behind it, too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I love about seeing shows where there's a lot of interaction. You go to see Kiss, they play for an hour and 20 minutes, and it's just the songs. You don't get to hear any cool backstories. You don't get anything from it, you know? And then they're on stage and off, and that's the end of it.
I'd like to hear Gene Simmons' backstory, and I want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
I don't. That's one of us. Criticism. We all take it. We all have to deal with it. How is the best way to rebound from it? You've got celebrities who are melting down almost daily. It seems like there's a new news story. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we return. We've got a special guest that'll be joining us to discuss this. I just think it's important because it's a lesson that we don't learn growing up. How do you learn to overcome the downtimes, the criticism, and use it as a learning tool? We'll discuss that and more right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. In for Chad Hartman, I'm Dave Schrader. Hey, everybody, remember today's Twins Ticket Tuesday, presented by Miller Marine and Power Lodge of St. Cloud, Bennington Pontoon's largest dealer. Listen for the Win Twins Sounder. Be the third caller, and you'll win a four-pack for the Tuesday, April 23rd game versus the Chicago White Sox at 6:40 p.m. Dave, do you do well with criticism?
Nope.
No.
Be honest. Thin skin.
Do you? You got thin skin
a little
when it
bit.
Comes to that? I had that for a long time, and then I learned to just kind of start to absorb it and take what people were saying, even if it was mean-spirited, realizing that behind that venom, a lot of times there was something I could glean from it that would help me improve upon what I was doing, whether it was public speaking or radio or coloring. My grandchildren are very particular when Pop colors with them. But it's easy to take that hit and allow it to absorb you, take you over, and kind of just ruin your day, ruin your week, ruin your month. And, man, to be in the public eye in any way, shape, or form has not always been easy over the last 18 years. But I've tried to find ways that I can utilize those moments, and it's not always tough. And then it's trying to find a way to translate them to teach my own kids and family and how to deal with those moments of criticism. And I'm by no means a scholar at it, and there are still things that get under my skin when people, you know, go on the attack. And I've always been of the mind, hey, if you watch a show I'm on and don't like the way I investigate or the way I do something, you be specific about it. I enjoy constructive criticism. If there's something that I see is glaringly wrong and you're pointing it out, great. That's something I work on. When you're just tearing at a person because they're overweight or bald or, you know, just not your identification of what this person should be, that's really kind of disparaging. But again, is there lessons to be learned about? And I don't know. So I figured it'd be best if we just asked somebody who does know, an expert in this. Dietra McGee is joining us right now. So we can discuss the best way to deal with criticism as adults and what tools can we also share with our family to help them combat the negative and destructive efforts of deserved and undeserved criticism. Dietra, thank you so much for agreeing to come on with me for a little bit today.
My pleasure to be here. I'm not too sure that I have anything to add. You've done really well with the intro to that.
Well, thanks for joining us, Dietra. All right. No, I appreciate that. But, you know, I have learned to adjust to it, but it's taken me a while. There are a lot of people that hear this and it's an immediate wave that crashes on them and can destroy their entire day. For people that are listening, what are some really great practices to start elevating yourself above that criticism and see beyond it, see what should be done or what is not deserved and what doesn't really come to you?
Well, I'm glad you asked. One of the most important things that I believe is to understand what you have come to understand is that you have a choice on how you view and how you absorb or refuse to absorb those criticisms and whether or not you're going to let them ruin your day, make your day a little bit better, or if it's something that you just simply need to learn how to turn loose of. You know, you made the comment that some things still get under your skin, and I couldn't help but think some things should still get under our skin.
Right.
Sorry.
And especially if they're maybe hitting on something that's, you know, maybe an inherent issue that we are dealing with or that is a problem that we need to look at and correct. And maybe those are the ones that hurt a little bit more.
Yes. And if it's something that's harming the people or the things that we care about, then it's natural they're going to continue to get under our skin. But to continually deal with things like somebody cutting you off in traffic and letting it ruin your morning, you know, we can learn to adjust to those.
I don't know. I don't know if you live in Minnesota. That might not be so easy as you might think, getting cut off. On the line with us is Dietra McGee on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're talking about productive ways to deal with criticism. You know, I know even in the world of social media, it does seem, and I think Mike Tyson said it best, even though it's a little bit animalistic in nature, the fact that the problem with people today is they forgot what it's like to say something to somebody and get a punch in the mouth for it. And there is kind of that element that people have forgotten common courtesy in many ways, and they're, you know, quick to criticize because there's really no accountability. You no longer have to look into the eyes of the person you're criticizing. You're a keyboard warrior who can take a shot at people and don't really have to deal with those repercussions.
Exactly. And one of the things that most of us through the years have found in dealing with bullies, which is basically what many of our critics are or want to be,
right,
is the fact that if you stand up to them, 9 times out of 10, they may hit you back, but you can handle it, and they will not hit you twice normally. You know, bullies are the most uber-sensitive people there is out there. They're the ones that they get criticized one time, and they're just beyond themselves. They can't believe you spoke ugly to them, but they might be the person who's very quick to tell you that that color doesn't look good on you, or I don't like the way you drive, or why are you wearing that, and just little critical things that they're constantly picking on you. But then if you stand up to them, they're the most easily offended. We say sometimes in this little backwoods Southern people like I am from Arkansas,
right?
You know, them what's conditioned out can't take it.
That is a sad case. And I've noticed over the years, one of the practices I've done, especially if it comes to social media, sometimes I will just take a lambasting from somebody. I don't know who this person is, but they've really taken a harsh attack. And what I've found as an interesting element is sometimes I'll retweet or repost that comment and just say, you know, if I could just get everybody to kind of chip in and maybe send a little positivity, a little love and some prayers for this person, because obviously they're hurting about something. They don't know me and they're lashing out and they apparently don't have another outlet for it. So let's just send some good thoughts to this person. And I would say I've done that probably out of every 10 times I've outed somebody, and I don't do it that often, but every 10 times I've done it, I probably had 2 or 3 of those people write back to me and go, wow, I can't believe that you would respond with courtesy. And I really feel stupid.
Exactly.
I was just having a bad day today, and you said something that just kind of irked me, and I overreacted. I'm sorry about that.
Right, right. I think a lot of the time that we are so much better if we learn to, instead of reacting to things, if we learn to act. And I love the story of the photographer that went on safari, and he wanted to get pictures of the bull elephants with the huge tusks and get very, very up close to them. He kept getting closer and closer, and the guide kept saying, "Bwana, no, too close. They're docile animals for the most part, but don't get in their space." And so he kept getting closer and closer. Finally, the bull elephant turned and charged him. And as it got right at him, he threw the camera to the side and grabbed the bull elephant's tusks, and it pushed him to the ground. And the trunk knocked the wind out of him, but the tusks kept him from being crushed.
Wow.
And so the elephant gets up, you know, looks at him, says, "Well, he's not a threat," walks off. When he comes to, the guide, of course, wants to know, "How did you know to do that? That's incredible." "Well," he said, "I knew because I've been rushed by bull elephants 1,000 times in my mind." So the key was to figure out what you would do. I know I had an incident once at work where the boss came down and was very critical of me in a group meeting, and nobody but him thought he had a right to point the problem at me, but that's okay. And I just sat there because I really didn't know how to respond. And I was thinking, I don't want to respond incorrectly, so I'm just going to think about this a while. And as soon as the meeting was over, one of the other officers says, Dietrich, can I see you in my office for a moment? And I thought, oh, well, now what's he going to tell me? What have I done wrong for him?
Right.
And he said, would you close the door, please? So I closed the door, and he says, don't leave. And I said, what do you mean? He said, don't resign. And I said, well, okay. And so we had a good conversation, and he said, don't let him push you away. He felt he was out of line. But I remember thinking it through and thinking, okay, he got by with it that one time, but I don't have a very good poker face. You pretty much see what's there. You might misread it, but I think he got the message that he got by with that one time, but best not do that again. It never happened again. He never apologized, mind you, but it never happened again either. But I thought, you know, if it happens again, I'm going to do the very same thing. I'm going to sit there and take it. And as soon as that meeting's over, I'm going to follow him into his office, and I'm going to say, excuse me, I don't understand this. Would you like my resignation now? Or is there something else that's going on? And because, you know, I was working somewhere else when I found that job. So
right.
There's always another place. But that criticism, managing criticism, has helped me so much to learn to be an active person, not a reactive person, to decide what I will and will not take and what I will and will not do ahead of time, like the photographer. And then when the time comes, I don't have to make the spur of the moment critical decisions. This is such a helpful concept if we could get our children to understand that, as far as smoking or trying drugs or even just being a part of a bullying or a critical situation at school. Think ahead what you will and what you won't put up with, and then go from there and let your goals dictate your actions instead of someone else manipulating you.
Right. Dietrich McGee on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's 12:54, time for the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to get a 50-year roof and 75% off installation labor on GAF asphalt shingles. Joining me right now on the line, we have got Dietrich McGee. Dietrich, very short time left together. What are a couple of quick little tips we can give to our spouses, our friends, our children, to help them start to learn to deal with criticism in a much better way?
Okay. I think one of the best principles is never look for reasons to be offended. Very often what we take as criticism is not even meant as criticism. It might be something, especially for the immature children, that your teacher gives you a bad grade. She's not necessarily trying to criticize you or even your work. She's trying to help you get better. So never look for reasons to be offended, and that can apply to all of us of all ages. One of the other quick tips that I like is remember what are the first two words of the statement, I lost my temper. I lost.
Yeah.
So we want to keep that in mind. Also, I have an outline on my website that is the Criticism Management Worksheet. It's free. It's available there on the website to anybody that wants it, along with some of these other thoughts. The other thought that I've already mentioned.
And what's your website for our listeners to find you?
Sure. It's www.criticismmanagement.com.
Perfect. Okay. And what was your last point here? We have about a minute left to go.
Okay. Another thought that I've touched on, but I want to reinforce, is how we react often tells more about us than how we act. So we want to be careful and be people of action. We don't want to react, because that also gives our weaknesses away to a bigger extent. And when we deal with criticism, it's important to take action. Don't try to ignore it, because very often it's like pushing a festered thing deep inside instead of dealing with it. So don't ignore it, and don't try to get angry or get even or get ulcers. Use it wisely. And fact by fact, either glean what's good from it, as you've mentioned, and then discard the rest of it, and really discard it. I take an empty toothpaste tube. I have done this before, and because that's one thing I can't find another use to recycle. and I'll attach my criticism to it and take it and literally throw it in the trash.
Good idea. Giving a physical representation of that thing and doing away with it.
Exactly.
Dieter McGee, thank you so much. We do have to get going. Criticismmanagement.com is the website. You can find more information and the worksheet there on the site. So please go examine that. And remember, folks, just take a little bit of patience. And even in a heated exchange when somebody's giving you criticism, take a look at the moment, take a look at what's being said, and see, is there something, honestly, that you could take from it that might make you feel like a better and more well-rounded person. Interesting stuff. We'll be back. I'm Dave Schrader in for Chad Hartman right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.